Take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs. And here's a verse of scripture that's always been a blessing to my heart and has helped me, and I trust that it will help you. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 in the first part of the verse. Proverbs 29 verse 18. Now, like I tell my people at home, I'll tell you the same thing. If you want to learn the Bible, how many want to learn the Bible, raise your hand. All right? If you really want to learn the Bible, then you take a pencil or a pen and you bring it with you. How many got a Bible? Raise it up. Got your Bible? Raise it up. Amen. How many got a pen? Raise your pen up. Raise your pen up. If you got a pen, raise your pen. Okay? Now mark your Bible, you can learn something. Proverbs chapter 29, now verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. A Christian will absolutely perish. Now, I don't mean he'll go to hell. You know that. You know that you're saved. You'll always be saved. You always will be saved. But you will physically, in your spiritual life, you'll perish. You'll become dead. You'll be dry. You'll be worthless to God if you don't have a vision of some kind. And you got to get a vision. You got to get a vision inside of you. You got to keep it, and you got to always have it. And that vision will get you through when nothing else will get you through. You got to get it, and you got to keep it inside of you. It's got to be part of you. Because there's too many things in life that get you sidetracked on nothing but junk, and it's just junk. But you got to get a vision. Now, I'm going to give you five of them. You need to write them down in your Bible. You need to open up a cover someplace in your Bible, open up a cover someplace where there's a blank page, and you need to write down a vision. You need to memorize it. You need to put it in your heart and make it part of you. Because this building, this church, was built on somebody having a vision. A man must have a vision. It doesn't make a difference who you are. You got to get one. You can get it from the Lord. And it doesn't make any difference where you get it, how you get it, but get one. I went out here to South Dakota one year and drove through South Dakota and drove through there and drove down and seen those three presidents. Or is it four? Four presidents. How many of you ever seen it? All right. And saw the four presidents there. The fella that carved those presidents on those mountains out of solid granite was one man. You know how old he was when he got the vision to carve those three men's faces on the mountain? He was 70 years old when he got the vision. 70 years old when he got the vision to carve those faces on that mountain. So it don't make a difference when you get the vision, but you got to get it. And it's got to be yours. Make it part of you. Get a vision. Get a vision. Then keep it. All right, number one, where there is no vision of God's word, a man will perish. Where there's no vision of this book right here being God's word, and where you take the word of God and it's engrafted, James said it's the engrafted word, and take the word of God and engraft it and make it part of you, not just your head. You memorize scripture, but that's not a vision of the word of God. That's taking the word of God and putting it in your brain. A vision of the word of God is taking it from your brain and putting it into your heart. Putting it into your heart and making it part of you. Let me give you an example. One day I was reading the word of God. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. I was reading this verse. I was just reading through and, you know, read through the Bible. And I come along this verse and 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and look at verse 25. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. And I said, Lord, I got to memorize that verse. Hezekiah rendered not again the benefit done unto him. So I started memorizing it, putting it right here. About 3 weeks ago, that's my memory verse. How many of you got a memory verse that you've memorized? That you're memorizing. Now, here's my memory verse right there. I got it on a piece of paper, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I stick it in my pocket just like that, and I put it right there, and then I take it out, and I'm driving down the road like that, and I get my verse. And I got my verse. I got to get it in here. And you don't have a vision of the Word of God till you take that book and put it right here. Where's your memory verse? How many got a memory verse? Raise your hand. One. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Give me your memory verse. No, I'm talking about the recent one. I'm talking about one yesterday, last week, and one. I'm not talking about one 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 weeks ago. I want yesterday, a week ago. How many got one from last week? The pastor's got one from last week. He's got one. Anybody else? Week before. 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. Give me your verse for 3 weeks ago. He forgot it. Where's Luke? Luke ain't here. I know he's got a memory verse. You see what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about? That means there's 3 weeks you haven't let the Lord get to you. You got to have a vision every day. You got to get that vision every day. Get you a verse of Scripture and memorize that verse of Scripture and memorize it and get another and memorize it and get another and memorize it and get another one. Don't stay stupid all your life! You're going to have to memorize a book. How many of you know a football player? How many of you know a football baseball team? How many of you know a soccer team? Nobody knows soccer. Football team? Give me a football team. Give me a baseball team. Luke? Nathan, give me a baseball team. Should know some. Come on. You see what I'm saying? You've got to get a vision of the Word of God. So I'm memorizing, but Hezekiah rendered not again the benefit done unto him. And I'm driving down the road, and there's these two girls standing beside the road going. I thought, wow, they must want me to stop. So I pull the truck over and pull it over and stop and says, we want you to change your flat tire. I said, sure, I'll change your flat tire. Jacked it up and had a little bitty jack underneath the car there, and I took it and jacked it up the car and jacked it up, got it up in the air, took off all the lugs and took the wheel off. And then I took the other tire to put on, and it wouldn't fit. It wasn't high enough. Then I'd done my dumb trick. Don't do this. I crawled back underneath the truck again to finish jacking it up. The tire's not on. That's a dumb trick. Don't do that. I'm jacking it up, and I'm looking over there like that, and that jack's about to jump off of that there axle. And I said, there's about that much hanging it on. And I said, don't touch the truck! I slid out from underneath there, and something says, you didn't pray. I said, Lord, I didn't even pray. I looked at the woman, and she says, I was praying that God wouldn't kill you. And then I said, Lord, you got something else to do for me. And then he said, what's your memory verse? And then I said, Lord, what do you want to pay back to you for you not killing me just now? Now, you got the point? You got the point? God wants me to give something back to him because he saved my life underneath that car, and I was dumb enough to crawl back under there, but he saved me anyway. I got something I ought to pay the Lord back for something he's given to me. Then this book here has got to be a vision to your heart and mind and soul. You've got to get it from your head down into your heart. When I was underneath the car and come out from underneath the car, it went 18 inches, went from here to here. Now, you see what I mean? You got to make a vision from the Word of God. I'll tell you again. It's like this. I pulled down from Kalispell, Montana, a brand new fifth wheel trailer. Brother Giff has seen it. He's helped me to work with it. Brand new one. It's paid in full. I don't owe a dime on it. It's paid in full. Don't owe it a penny. The Lord gave it to me. Now, the Lord says, render again the benefit done unto me. So when I see my trailer, I say, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? And here's this guy standing at my window, just got through at the gas pump, and he said, blankety blank, 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 Jesus. And I jerked out the track and says, here's what you need. He said, well, yeah, okay, I'll read that. I'll be with you. You say, what is that? That's taking the verse where he says, Hezekiah rendered not again the benefit done unto me. That's saying, okay, Lord, you took care of me over here. You didn't let me get killed underneath the truck. You give me a brand new fifth wheel. Lord, I want to make sure some poor soul don't go to hell. You've got to get a vision of God's book or you'll perish. You'll perish. Get a vision of this book here. It's God's book. It's not man's book. It's God's book. Make it a vision in your heart, in mind, and soul. All right. And you can take verse after verse after verse. But take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 1 and look at verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that was written therein. For then shalt thou make thy ways prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You know how you get a vision of God's book? You take the book, and you put it in your heart, and you put it in your mind, and you think about it, and you think about it, and you try to think of a verse of Scripture when somebody talks to you in life. When I go through life, you know what I've done, gotten a habit of doing? I want to say to myself, now he's talking about this thing. Now, Lord, give me a verse of Scripture for that in your book. He's talking about this thing here. Now, Lord, give me a verse. Give me a verse. Give me a verse. Give me a verse. And I just listen to him, listen to him, listen to him. And I'm looking for verses in the Bible that are connecting with that subject that he's talking about. You'll be surprised what's in that book. Awful lot of things in that book that are about this life. But you got to get a vision for God's book, or people are perishing. You know why Christians are perishing? Christians are taking the Word of God and they're bringing it to church or bringing it to Sunday school, but they're not memorizing the Word of God. They're not meditating upon it. You say, reading it? Yes, reading it, but meditating upon it. You say, what's meditating? Meditating is like this. You lay down at night, and you close your eyes, and you see two red dots. And then they turn purple. Then they turn yellow, and then you start to think about something. You know what you think about? You think about what's on your heart. What's on your heart? When you start meditating on the Word of God, you start saying, now, Lord, you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means every word, God, every word, even the words over there that I can't spell. Even the words that I can't pronounce, even the words that I can't read, meditate on every word because you'll live by every word in this book. Meditate upon it. Think about it. But that guy's where a guy's heart is. Where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. I got guys in my church, they know football players, they know baseball players. One guy studies all the baseball cards. Got all the baseball cards memorized. And I think to myself, man, if I could memorize all those baseball cards, I'd sure spend some time memorizing the Word of God. You know why people perish? They don't have a vision of the Word of God. You live by it. You live by this book right here. All right, again, take your Bible and write down on that as point number two. Where there is no vision of heaven, people perish. Where there is no vision of heaven, people perish. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians nowadays? They can talk about the world, think about the world, and feel about the world, but not have a vision of heaven itself. I like preachers that preach on heaven because it reminds me where I'm going when I die. You know what's going to happen to you when you drop dead? They're going to take you and they're going to bury you. They're going to put you down in a casket. They're going to put you in a hole. I want you to try something. I want you to go out in your backyard and I want you to get a shovel and I want you to dig in that hole and I want you to dig it about 4 feet, about 3 feet wide and about 6 feet long. And dig a hole about that deep. Dig about that deep. Put a little dirt on this side, dirt on that side, dirt on this side. Then I want you to go over there, and I want you to get in that thing like that. I want you to kneel down, and I want you to lay down that hole. And I want you to look right straight up. And I want you to meditate upon it a while, because that's where you're going to go. That's where you're headed. You're going to go up in heaven. And you ain't going to take your gun with you. I bought a new gun. How many got guns? I got guns. I have a... How many? How many have more than one gun? How many have more than two? Three. Four. How many have more than five guns? Woo, man. I like guns. One is a 12-gauge shotgun. It's got a pump on this side and a handle back here, and you can pump it and shoot 18 times. Blah, 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 just fast as you can shoot it. I like that gun. I got a 357 Magnum. And I like that one. Man, I like that one. One day, my wife says, I hate guns. So I take my shotgun and set it right beside the bed. Then I think about it, and the next day she says, guns kill people. I hate guns. That's my wife now. I said, oh, no, she's going to take my pistol and hide the pistol, and I'll never find it. So I says, I will take my 357 Magnum, and I'll hide it. She won't find my 357 Magnum. So I took it. I went out in my trailer. And I went all the way through my trailer, and she says, no, she'll look here. She'll look there. She'll look here. She'll probably find it there. Better not hide it there. I went in my office, and I said, well, she'll be in here cleaning up, so I better not hide it there. And I hid that 357 Magnum. A year ago, I can't find it yet. Somebody says, preacher, something that valuable, I would have searched and searched and searched high heaven for it. I said, well, I searched every place I could find, and I still can't find it. But I'm searching for some things in that book that are much more valuable than the 357 Magnum. And I've searched for them every day. Lord, give me something that's more valuable than my 357 Magnum that I can't find. And Lord, I know you'd show it to me if you really wanted me to have it. Lord, you'd show it to me. Lord, I know you would. He hasn't showed it to me yet. So you know what I did? I went out and bought five boxes of 357 Magnum shells. And I hid them for some poor saint in the tribulation who needs it more than I do. But I'm still looking in that book for something precious and precious that means something to me that'll save some poor soul, and it may save me out of some big trouble when the time comes. Don't quit searching for something in the book. Search the book, search the book, search the book till you find something for your soul. Get a vision of God's book. Get a vision of heaven. This book will give you a vision of heaven, brother. My Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust is cannot corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. You ought to lay some treasures up in heaven. You're going there, aren't you? Aren't you going there? You're going to heaven? Say amen. Then put some treasures up in heaven and get a vision up in heaven. If you got your treasures up there, your heart will be up there, you'll have a vision of heaven. You know what happens to a whole bunch of Christians? They got a vision down here. They've lost their vision for heaven. They don't care about going to heaven. One time I had a lady in my church, she come in and says, "Preacher, I hope the Lord don't come back this week." I says, "You don't want the Lord to come back this week?" She says, "No, my husband will miss his vacation." When we can't go on vacation if the Lord comes back now. I thought to myself, I'll miss any vacation in this world if my Savior comes and takes me out of this hellhole. You got to get a vision of heaven. Get a vision of heaven and keep it and ask the Lord to give you one. And you know what I found? You get a vision of heaven. You get a vision of heaven every now and then when everything down around here kind of just turns to mud. Just all kinds of turns to mud and just everything just kind of just falls apart and just ends up being, oh, yuck. Then the Lord says, okay, now get a vision of heaven because you know that thing there is not going to be what you think it's going to be. You know, the Lord just seems to pop all your bubbles, just kind of seems to pop all of them. They just never turn out the way you think they're going to turn out. Why is that? So the Lord will give you a vision of heaven. So you can get your heart where it should be. Supposed to be in heaven. Get it there. Again, taken right down where there's no vision of lost souls. Where there is no vision of lost souls. You got to keep a vision of lost souls. I heard your pastor here a little bit ago saying about going down the street corner and handing out gospel tracts. I've gone down the street corner for 22 years in Kalispell, Montana, and I got a loudspeaker, big loudspeaker. And that loudspeaker is driven by a battery and a microphone. And I get up on that in that microphone, that battery, and I scream at the top of my voice, says, "There's no hope in the pulse." They go, somebody say, "Are you crazy enough to holler something like that?" Yeah, I really am. Because I believe there's hope in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You say hope in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Brother Gip was there with me. It was a blessing to have you preach with me, brother, on the street corner. Stand up there and preach on the street corner and preach the Word of God. Why should a man look like a fool? Why should a man look that way? My Bible says, by the preaching of the gospel, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? Believe. I quoted the verse wrong, didn't I? Did I quote the verse wrong? Did I? There it is. Oh, there it is. For after that, the wisdom of God, word wisdom, and I can't even read the thing. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, every man in here should preach at somebody. Every man in here should preach at somebody. Say, quit preaching at me. Quit preaching at me. That's what God wants you to do to save your soul. Jesus Christ died for a man's sins. Amen? He died for a man's sins. Then the devil only has one goal in life, is to damn a man's soul. That's all the devil wants. If the devil can keep you afraid and scared and chicken-hearted or sidetracked or have your mind over here on whatever instead of on a man going to hell, so many more men wouldn't go to hell. Yeah, notice how easier it is to witness to somebody you don't know than it is to somebody you know. Brother Sam Gipp, you ought to have the easiest folks to witness to there is in the world. You know a lot of folks you don't even know. Well, you know what I meant. Come on, Nathan. A lot of guys you never seen in your life. Never met them before in your whole life. You say, just a gospel tract? Just a gospel tract right here. Some strange, or just some guy walking down the street. You'll never know. Guy gave me a gospel tract, and it was the difference between me going to hell and heaven. Guy gave me a gospel tract. Hand me a gospel tract. Just take that and read it. I couldn't even read it. But I got saved! You got to care for a man's soul. Do you care for a man's soul? You got to get a vision. Get a vision of lost souls. All right? Now, number four. You got to get a vision of God's holiness. You got to get a vision of God's holiness. You got to get a vision of purity. You got to get a vision. God didn't just save a man to save him from hell. God wanted to clean your life up. God wanted to give you something new. He didn't just save your soul from hell. He wanted to clean you up, wanted to make you do it different. My Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many know the verse? Amen. Amen. All right, then. God saved you, and he wants to make you holy. He wants to clean you up. He wants to do something with you. He wants to just not save you. So, you follow me? You know what it's like? I'll tell you what it's like. It's like this. Up there in Kalispell, I got a field right next to my church. And this guy took all the topsoil off of his field because he's going to put an RV park in there. And he graded it all right down to the side of my church. So when it rained, all the water come right down there. And I went out there and dug a dam over there and dug a bunch of dam, a bunch of dirt, muddy dirt. And that water just kept flowing. It was all flowing into my parking lot. And I went out and got a great big old 4x6. Took that old 4x6 and put it on my shoulder and walked out there, and that water cup coming through it, and I threw it right down in the mud and got up and stomped it down in the mud. Stomped it down in, kept the water from coming through. And when it dried up, summertime came, he come along with his front end loader and picked up that old 4x6 and picked it up with all the mud on it and threw it back over the fence. And I thought to myself, you know something? I know some sinners that are drunks, that are rapists, and that are swear and cuss and everything there is. And they're like this old piece of wood that's got the mud on them. I thought, now what would God do to a man? He'd save him and clean him up. So I got my garden hose and took that old 4x6 and started cleaning it up. And I said, now Lord, give me some old sinner that's just hell-bound and just plumb full of mud. And I cleaned that old 4x6 up. And I said, now, Lord, this here's a pretty strong piece of 4x6. I mean, this thing is heavy. Wonder what it's made out of. I thought, that thing is made out of oak. Now, Tom, if you've seen a nice piece of oak, I think this is oak right here, ain't it, brother? This is oak. Now, don't that look good? Come on. That's good-looking stuff. Now, here he is, an old piece of 4x6 full of mud. Here he is, afterwards. That was him, what he was cussing and swearing and drunk. So a couple of weeks ago, an old drunk come to church. He still had a booze on his breath. He smiled, and boy, that Jeff boy goes, woo. And he says, preacher, I sure like to hear you preach. Could I come to your church? I said, come on, brother. I was over to see him Monday, boy. I went right over to his place right over there. His wife, about the same. She smiled, couple teeth knocked out here, black eye here, you know. He beat her up, you know. I says, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they both started crying and said, yes, preacher, we have. We just want to get right with God. I said, Lord, thank you for the 4x6. I've got the mud cleaned off of it. I cut it in half. And I put it through one of those things that, a planer, a joiner. You know what a joiner is. Anyway, a joiner takes all that old stuff off. Got to get rid of that old stuff. Take all the old stuff off, and then I crank the table saw up real high and split it in half. So I got four pieces. Got four legs. I varnished them and sanded them down. I got them sitting on my table. You've seen them, Brother Gip. Got four of them right there. Nice legs. Four nice legs. Now, I don't know what I'm going to use those legs for. I haven't decided yet. I got news for you. God Almighty sees you. And the devil sees you. And your wife's eventually going to find out. And you see yourself. Fellow says, nobody sees me. Why, you know what God wants? Well, God wants some clean, wants some purity. That's what's missing in Christians nowadays. They think it's all right to cuss, you know, this kind of, you know, tell a dirty joke and tell an off joke. I don't even want to hear it. I don't enjoy hearing it. I don't even want to hear it. Fellow says it's funny. I don't care if it is funny. I don't want to have to be thinking about it in my bed at night. I don't care how funny it is. The funnier, the less I want to know about it. You know what's lacking in Christian life? A vision of holiness. No vision of holiness. You got to get a vision of holiness. Get rid of it. Clean it up. Stop it. You say, can I be a Christian to do it? You can do anything you want to. God will go a long ways. You know something? You say, will God kill you? He probably will eventually. Sin will kill you eventually. Sin gets us all eventually. Come on. How many of you here, Bible knows the wages of sin is death? You're all going to drop dead if the Lord perish. And it'll be because of sin. But don't do it ahead of time. God wants to use you. God wants to make something out of you. God wants you to get rid of some of that old stuff. Get rid of a whole lot of it. Take it out of your life. You know what will take it out? That book right there. That book right there. Last of all, you got to get a vision. You got to get a vision of hell. You got to get a vision of hell. You know the words that are missing in the pulpit today, and by the grace of God, I don't know, I've never heard your pastor preach, but I guess by the grace of God that these words are in this pulpit. I'll tell you what the words that are missing in the modern pulpit of today is. Hell! Damned! Lost! Condemned! Hopeless! Brother, that's what's missing. Why? Because when you say condemned, well, let's get rid of that word. Hell, let's get rid of that word. Lost, let's get rid of that word. And you need more of that kind of word. Why? Because you've got to get a vision of hell. Men are going to die, and they're going to go to hell, and they're going to burn when they wake up. How many of you believe that if a man, I mean honestly, in your head you believe that if a man dies without Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, that he goes to hell? How many of you believe that? All right, then let me ask you, what are you doing about it? What are you doing to prevent your brother from going to hell? How many have a brother that's going to hell? How many are you preventing him from going to hell? What are you doing about stopping him from going to hell? Your brother's going to hell! What are you doing about it? What are you going to do? One of these days your brother's going to scream and say, why didn't you tell me? Have you told it? How many times have you told it? Are you going to tell him again? You're going to tell him again? Are you going to look like a fool? Are you going to make him mad? You're going to tell him he's going to hell? He's going to hell. One time my brother came up here to Montana and said, preacher, Nathan, I want you to go with me and I want you to preach at me. But I want you to walk all the way back into the Bob Marshall wilderness with me, and I'll let you preach him at me all the way if you'll walk with me. I walked 22 miles with him and preached at him all the way. And he never got saved. I preached at my mother for 35 years, and in one Sunday morning, she came and sat down at my church, and I preached on the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved, and she's sitting right about where she's at, and I preached the gospel message to it, and I said, will you receive Jesus Christ? She stood up from her seat, and I said, my mother's going to walk out again. She turned and walked down this aisle. And my mother walked right down there. My mother got down on her hands and knees. And I heard with my ears my mother say, Nathan, I believe I'm a sinner. When my mother said, she said, Nathan, I also know that I'm a sinner. And I said, you believe Jesus died for your sins? And my mother said, yes, I believe he died for my sins. At my altar, in my church. Woo! Woo! You know what's wrong with a lot of you? You don't have a vision of hell. You don't win anybody, and you don't go down a street corner and look like a fool handing out tracts because you've lost your vision of hell. You don't go out and knock on any doors. You don't sit down, write a letter. And you don't do just about nothing because you've lost your vision of hell. Every eye closed and every head bowed. My text says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You'll perish when you lose your vision of God's word, when you lose the vision of heaven, when you lose a vision of lost souls, and when you lose a vision of hell. Now, what are you going to do about it?